New York City is allowing thousands of nonviolent criminal defendants who are too poor to afford bail to go home on supervised release instead. As WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez reports, the program is designed to break a vicious cycle of recidivism, reduce the size of the population on Rikers Island, and save money, too.
I don't know why the people are asking for $25,000 bail here in a case where my client is sitting in the back seat.
Four men, handcuffed and looking distraught, are facing a judge in Bronx Criminal Court. Police found heroin and a gun in their car. Each one is flanked by a lawyer.
Additionally, Judge, my client has been working steady for the same landscaping company for the past 4 years. He supports two children on that job. Obviously, if bail is set and he can't make that bail, he's going to lose that job.
Arraignments like this are the first step in the court process. And in 2014, there were more than 338,000 of them. The cases move fast, and in less than 10 minutes, a judge decides in most cases whether to set bail or release someone and trust they will return to court on their own.
$20,000 bond, $10,000 cash, and these cases will be closed.
But now there's another option, at least for people charged with nonviolent felonies and misdemeanors.
Hi, Willie. Any supervised release cases today?
A few, but five.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's Judge George Grasso popping into the office of a social service provider.
Basically, I oversee, you know, all of the arraignment parts for the city.
Before he was a judge, he was a deputy commissioner in the NYPD, and he's helped design what's called supervised release. It's supposed to target people accused of nonviolent crimes who can't afford modest bail. Every year, roughly 15,000 defendants can't afford bail of $1,000 or less. That's about 85% of defendants in that category who end up at the notorious jail complex at Rikers Island. Grasso says this program will help keep some of them out and help them get their lives back on track.
This is a real instance of putting the criminal court more in the center of the universe, not just kind of like as a big assembly line operation, but in the center of the universe in real time. Early on in the case, the arraignment is the earliest part of the criminal case, to learn about what we can about the case and the individual and try and get some good out of that.
To learn what they can about the individual, caseworkers interview them and try to determine whether they need mental health services, drug treatment, or something else. Those programs are voluntary. Defendants can't be forced to accept them because they haven't been convicted of anything yet. But monitoring is required. To be released without bail, these defendants must sign a contract and agree to regular check-ins with caseworkers.
First it's like three times a week, then it's like two times a week, then it's once, and then, you know, you just, phone call in every week, and then, you know, maybe like every month.
David Medina is facing a drug possession charge and was put in a pilot program back in October. He hasn't missed a check-in yet and says he relies on his caseworker to keep him on top of his case.
Because sometimes it's just a whole bunch of things going on, and it's just like, you know, I need stuff and need to be able to tell me, like, okay, you know, you got this court date or you have this.
Medina says he's been arrested before but never convicted. He says had he been sent to Rikers, he would have lost his job as a DJ and music producer, and he has two kids to support. His supervision likely won't end until the case gets resolved.
It's not meant to be used for the people who should be released. It's really meant for the person who, you know, has some community ties, but, you know, they probably need some kind of supervision.
Stan Herman is director of New York County Defender Services. He says he wants to make sure the program doesn't overreach and sweep up people who would otherwise have been released on their own recognizance. People get ROR'd in about 70% of cases that move forward. Herman says the release program will also reduce the number of guilty pleas.
I think my attorneys would embrace the opportunity, you know, to do more trials. They're not happy when they're taking pleas on cases where they feel that, you know, we should have fought that case. We could have won that case, you know, if only the client was willing to, you know, wait it out. But at the same time, you know, it's a big ask to tell a client to sit in jail for 6 months to wait for a trial.
A result that only increases the chance they will get in trouble again, according to Liz Glazer.
You know, jail begets jail.
She's director of the Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice and says studies show that the longer you're there, the more likely you are to return. Glazer says the release program involves taking a risk on people and that one in five may not return. But, she says, to incarcerate all the rest is unfair to them and costly to the city.
The corrections budget is $1 billion right now. So every day is a cost to the city, just as far as financial measurements go. There's obviously a human cost also.
Allison Upton, a psychologist for an organization called CASES, is the person who decides how much of a risk each defendant presents. She screens them for supervised release before they go in front of a judge, who may or may not accept them into the program. So far, a third of the 771 people screened have been put on supervised release.
And so he was accused of selling a certain amount of marijuana that's at the misdemeanor level amount to an undercover officer.
This defendant has 8 prior convictions, including 1 felony, a record that reflects a cycle of churning the program is trying to end. She uses a questionnaire to help determine his risk level.
He scored a 3, which places him in the medium-high range of risk, which we are allowed to take into the program.
The city analyzed a year's worth of real-life arrests to determine what factors correlate with a person getting arrested again. One factor is age.
The older you are, the less risky you are for felony rearrest.
And another is a person's criminal history. If a defendant misses an appointment, caseworkers will search for them. If they can't find them within 48 hours, a judge can issue a warrant for their arrest. Upton believes it's enough to ensure public safety isn't compromised, and enough to give people a chance.
To continue their court case and continue their court compliance, and not have to have their lives completely disruptive and not have to have the negative consequences of being at Rikers.
For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.